The 12th chapter of the book of John, but we're also going to be going back to the book of Isaiah and kind of walking through four distinct passages in the book of Isaiah, because the 12th chapter of the book of John is a discourse between the Lord Jesus Christ and some of the religious leaders, and he's teaching them about some of the things that come out of the Old Testament scriptures according to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah being one of the major prophets, not major because he was bigger than the minors, but that he had more to say than the other ones did. The minor prophets, because of the brevity of writing, they're just called the minor prophets. But Isaiah being one of the major, he had a large writing. And it's been said that Isaiah is like a mini Bible. Check my mind. I think I'm like a lot of church members. Don't have any power. Probably a message in that somewhere. Can y'all hear me in the back while they're getting me some batteries? I know they got to do this for the recording and everything. You'll look, we left the cross up here after the wedding of Jake and Macy last Saturday, and we just left it there during Sunday. And the Lord put it upon Brother Tim Anderson's heart to actually use that thing for what it was intended for. And namely, that is a place to bring our burdens and a place to bring our anything that you've got you want to lay with the, just leave with the Lord. A lot of times we bring it up here to the altar. And that's all well and good, but there's actually some that have been written on post-it notes. And if you don't know where to get a post-it note, they're right here at the very foot of the cross on this table. There's some push pins. The post-it note itself, if it won't stick, then you can. That sounds awful loud. Am I loud? Hey, Chad, turn me down just a little bit, or I'm gonna start preaching and blow them out of here. Y'all good? Everybody good? All right. We'll leave that thing somewhere right in here for the recording's sake. But anyway, as I said, you can already see these people have put these prayer requests on here, and they weren't ashamed to put them on there with the face with it facing out. But now, if you've got something that is so private, something that's so personal to you, if you'll just fold that thing over one time, you can take that thing and take a push pin and stick it right there. We'll still pray for your prayer request, and it's still been nailed to the cross. The Bible says that in the book of Colossians 2:14 said that he took the handwriting of ordinances that were contrary to us, that were against us and contrary to us, and the Bible said that he took them, nailing them to his cross. So you've got something you want to put on the cross, by all means use the cross, because the Lord surely meant for it to be used. I believe that. Whenever he died on that old Roman-made cross, he meant for it to be not just for the ones that were on the hill that day. The Bible says sitting down, they watched him there. It wasn't just for those that were sitting around the hillside. That was for us today, as the scriptures recorded. By way of announcement, there is a pinto bean supper Friday evening at 5 o'clock at the Family Life Center. You'll be able to sit down and eat in, or you'll be able to get your carry-out box to take with you. All the proceeds from that will be used as part of the Healing Hearts Ministry. Don't know what they've got going on, but nevertheless, it'll be used for the good of God's children and for the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to talk tonight just a little bit out of the scriptures. The Lord was preparing his people here for his departure, and that's what chapter 12 is leading into. He's telling them he's going to go away. He closely aligns himself and even says that if you've seen the Father, you've seen me. He declares that he is not only man, but he declares that he is God. And you'll see that whenever we read these scriptures. And you shouldn't have any problem with that. If you believe in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, then you have to see it in the pages of God's Word. And we preached a message some time ago about that the Holy Spirit is a person. He is the third person of the Godhead. And he's welcome here tonight. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to bust our door down to come in and worship with us. But bless God, if we invite him in, he'll come right in and he'll be a part of our service. So let's treat him with respect like that he's worthy of. And we're going to pick up the reading. I've got a lengthy passage. I'm sorry that it's going to be quite lengthy. If you need to sit, you're fine. But we're going to read from chapter 12, verse number 23, down the latter part of that chapter, because I want you to see fully what's going on here. And I want you to see why Christ can make the claim that he was man, because he was. But I also want you to see why he could make the claim that he was God, because he was. And I want you to see that even though some believed on him and some didn't believe on him, is that any different than it is today? People still, some believe on him and some don't. Why is that? You'll see a lot of it straight from the page of the scripture. So I, in the book of John, and whenever I use a word, there's a word in here, it's called Esaias. Everybody knows that Esaias is the Greek word that is used of the Hebrew translation, meaning Isaiah. And you can see that whenever we run back over to the book of Isaiah. So I will read it, Isaias, as it is written, but then it means Isaiah, and we will be going back to the book of Isaiah whenever we get into the scripture itself to start preaching. Don't forget, for those that don't know, Brother Kenny's going to take the pulpit next Wednesday evening. That is Halloween. I hope, pray to God, you're in here rather than out there doing some trickery. We preach message after message on the reason that we don't celebrate the eve of All Hallows. We don't celebrate. We have no company with that darkness. We just don't do it. But you say, well, I don't see nothing wrong with it. You take it up with God. He told us not to have any company with darkness and get away from that. And he told us don't celebrate that junk. So we don't. And that's why we don't have the trunk or treat and all that. If we have a fall festival, we don't even do it on Halloween. We'll do it the week before, week after. We'll do something like, and I'm not above fall festivals. I believe we ought to be thankful for the fall harvest and everything. But let's just don't celebrate anything dealing with the devil or satanic rituals, cults, witches. Let's don't celebrate that junk. We've not done it since I've been here. We ain't going to start now. But anyway, I'll be in a revival next Wednesday night. It'll be down at Brother Steve Pope at Calvary. I've just got the final night of that revival. They've got Brother Jeremy Simpson coming a couple nights, and I'm not even sure who else is on the schedule, but I'll be taking the Wednesday night, which is the Sunday through Wednesday revival. He asked me if I could get away to come down, and I felt like I could go. The Lord blessed in it. He asked, and I'm going. Brother Kenny's got the pulpit here, so y'all be praying for that. Anyway, other prayer requests and stuff, you know what they are if you're in a prayer room. If you weren't, you should come to the prayer room. That way you can catch up. Anyway, chapter number 12, book of John. Let's just read our scripture. Beginning in the 23rd verse, the Bible said, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it in the life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I into this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This said he, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. How sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed, and did hide himself from them. But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Esaias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Esaias said again, He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. Now listen expressly to verse number 41, because as far as the text verse from John's writing in chapter number 12, that 41st verse is going to become the text verse for the evening. These things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come, a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that this his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so speak I. Brother Archie, how about blessing us? You're being seated real quickly. Let me just kind of give you a little catch up here. 700 years prior to this particular speaking of our Savior, there was a man by the name of Isaiah, and he was a prophet of old, and the Lord had greatly used him to set the stage, and the prophecies that God would give unto Isaiah would be those prophecies that would then be unfolded. Now, in the New Testament, what does the Bible say that the faithless and perverse generation are looking for, in that they too might believe on the only begotten of the Father? They're looking for a sign. So as you go back into the book of Isaiah, or as it is written in the Greek, go back to the word of Esaias, we're going to find out what the Lord was talking about whenever he tells us that in that 41st verse, that whenever it said that they saw, it said, let me go back and catch it. It said in the 41st verse, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So I'm going back to that particular passage, and I want to talk tonight about some things that Isaiah saw. If this faithless and perverse generation of people is looking for something, and they are, what did the Lord tell them concerning the sign that they would seek? He told them very clearly that this generation will not get a sign. They just will not receive a sign. And then he told them what scripture. He said, they have the prophets. Let them believe them. He said, like the prophet of Jonas, and he used that many times. He said, they've got prophets. They've got minor prophets. They've got major prophets. Even the rich man in hell said, send somebody back from the grave. If one would come from the grave, they'd believe him. My friend, there's not going to be a sign. We've got the whole account, 66 books of blessed word right here in our lap. We've got all the old prophets of old. We've got all the things that should be given. We've got everything that was going to come to pass. We've got prophecy that must yet be fulfilled, in that our Savior's not yet come back. The Lord said, you destroy it, and I'll take it up again. He said, if I go away, I will come again. So there's still yet some scriptures. There's still yet some prophecy, Brother Tam, that's not yet come yet. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited about a trumpet one day. I'm excited about a voice of the archangel calling us home. I'm excited about those. But my friends, that prophecy is yet to be fulfilled, but it ain't too far away. Be it one day, 100 years, or 1,000 years, it's still going to be but a blink of an eye in the grand span of eternity. But we go back to the book of Isaiah, and I want you to see, because the Lord Jesus Christ told them, and John pinned it down, saying that they've got stuff that they can look at. They've got the old prophets. They've got the old Bible. They don't need something new today. And if somebody comes up to you with a new gospel, somebody comes up to you with some new revelation, somebody comes out with something that you've never heard about before, I look at them with a very curious eye. You look at them and you rightly divide the Word of God and see if what they're telling you is in this book, because there's so much today that's coming out of the Dead Sea Scrolls. There's so much coming from this or from that, and it's all this technology. And all, the Bible said that, Brother Tim, we will be forever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that's the way we are. People trying to find that new niche. They're trying to find that new inroad. They're trying to find a new revelation from God, a new prophecy. And let me tell you, well, God, it's just not there, Brother Kenny. It's forever settled. It's in the old Bible. So we're going to start out by doing what the Bible said. We're going to look at the Bible, and as Brother Woody, if he was here tonight, would say, he said, if you want a commentary on the Word of God, use the Word of God, and that's what we're going to do tonight. But in that 41st verse, it said, Esaias, some things that he saw for the glory of God. We're going back to the book of Isaiah, and we're going to start out in chapter number 7, because I want to show you something. If this faithless and perverse generation of people, Brother Tim, which we are, and if you don't think we live amongst a faithless and perverse generation
of people, you're living under a rock somewhere, or you're living a whole lot more shelter than I am, because when I look around, I see faithlessness everywhere. I see faithlessness on every hand, Brother Tam. Nobody loves God. If you get them in the right circle, misleading everybody going to heaven, but in the right, in the every way, every day walk of life, Brother Arthur, ain't nobody loving God. Ain't nobody talking about God, looking for the miracles of God, talking about the benefits of God's glory, the manifestation of His Spirit. They're just not talking about that stuff. Yeah, but Ryan, you get them in the right circle. When they're rapture ready, they're hell, they're heaven bound with a hammer down. They ain't going to go to hell. If you tried to, they ain't going to hell. But my friends, let me tell you, that doesn't line up with what God said was going on. He said they're going to leave Him, and they're going to heap into themselves teachers having itching ears. They're going to have a falling away. Brother Ryan, the Bible tells us what's going to happen, and what He says is going to happen is going to happen. But if we looked at this faithless and perverse generation of people and saw what they were seeking, which is what you said, a sign, let's take them back and show them what Isaiah saw. How about that? So in chapter number 7 of the book of book of Isaiah, chapter number 7, we'll just show them what the Lord said, and we'll find out if the scripture was right or if the scripture was wrong. The Isaiah chapter number 7, verse number 14, He says, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you what? Hey, He said He shall give you a sign. If they want a sign, let them look into the whole Bible. And you said, yeah, but we're a New Testament church. Let's see what the sign was. The Bible said, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Brother preacher, don't you think that that sign that Isaiah showed us right there in 7 and 14, that was something to look forward to? In the orthodoxy of the Jews, they can mark it down. Brother Tam, if the old Bible said it, they should look for it to come to pass. But bless God, the Orthodox Jews, Brother Kim, they missed Him. I mean, bless God, they just totally missed Him. Now, I'm glad there's some Messianic Jews. Those are the ones that embrace the fact that this man by the name of Jesus, He was their Messiah. He was that Christ child. He was conceived of a virgin, and her name was Mary, as she was betrothed unto Joseph. And bless God, that sign, it was welcoming enough for them. It's welcoming enough for me, because I know what happened. Bless God, there was a virgin. She was chaste and she was pure. She had never known a man. And bless God, the Holy Spirit come upon her. And bless God, she was pregnant with the very child of Almighty God. And that's the only way, Brother Tam, that we have anything to hang the deity of Jesus Christ on. Why? Because the Adamic nature of God, of man, was handed down. But that had to be broken that we might get out of that condemned blood lineage and get into that bloodline of God. And it only come by a virgin, because the seed of Adam was handed on every man. And as we've preached about 7 and 12 in the book of Romans, 5 and 12 in the book of Romans, that by one man sin, death by sin was passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That was handed down from Adam. Yes. Now if this faithless and perverse generation of people seeking a sign, right there, Brother Tam, that's the perfect sign. You said, but that's in the old Bible. Well, look at that sign and then walk it forward 700 years and you'll find out that a virgin did conceive. Her name was Mary. I mean, there's no historical, there's no disputing that, Brother Kim. That was a man that lived. His name was Jesus. It's a fact. And you said, yeah, but was He really the Christ? We'll get there in just a minute. We'll look at Him according to not just historical account, but we'll look biblically, we'll look historically, and we'll find out whether or not this man really did fit the bill. If he's going to be the Christ, he's going to have to be sinless. If he's going to be the Christ, he's going to have to be the one that come out of Bethlehem. Why? Because that's what Micah said. Or Malachi, which one of them said that, Brother? It was Malachi, said that he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, is what the scripture said. We're going to find out whether that was true or not. I myself know that it was true. You say, well, how do you know? Don't you just believe it? I do believe it, but I know it because the scripture records it. That's all that I got to have to bank it on. I bank it on this book. So as these were disputing, and the Bible said that they wouldn't believe on Him, and then some did believe, but they wouldn't tell it, they wouldn't confess it, because they were of the religious folks, they were the Pharisees, and if they come out and said, I believe that He was the one, He just told us all these things, and I believe that He's the one. But the Bible said they would not confess it. Why? Because they would lose their seat in the synagogue. They were afraid they'd get kicked out because of their position inside the synagogue. My goodness, folks, I'd rather be in a world without a synagogue to be in there without my Jesus. And that's just the way these people were. But anyway, that 41st verse said that these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory. Now, a lot of time we think about Isaiah and seeing God's glory, we automatically go to chapter number 6 and verse number 1. That in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple. We look at that as if Isaiah had saw his glory. But that's not the only thing Isaiah saw. Isaiah had visions upon visions. And one of the things that Isaiah said, he said, I saw a sign in verse number 14. The Lord himself shall give you a sign, and behold, a virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. What does that word Emmanuel mean? What is that? It means God with us. And I'm glad that whenever Jesus said that he was all man, but he also laid claim, he said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've seen me, you've seen the one that sent me. And bless God, he had all claim to lay that he was a man because he was born of a man. He was born of the seed of a woman, but he was born of the lineage of God Almighty. But he was a man, Brother Tim. Whenever it said, I thirst, guess what? He was thirsty. If he said anything else, Brother Tim, if he heard, he heard. If he was dusty, it's because he was walking barefoot along the Emmaus Road. Everything that you could do, he could do. Anything except sin. You can sin, he can't sin. But everything about him is just crying out that I'm he, I am he, I am he. So the first thing that Isaiah saw when it said that Isaiah, these things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory, the first thing that I see whenever I look at that is he saw a sign. The next thing, flip two pages over in the book of Isaiah to chapter number 9. Don't think we'll be long tonight. I don't know. Maybe we'll get out of here in time for a little house. Is there a ball game on tonight, or was that last night? What's that? Is it? What is it? Is that tonight? When do they start? I mean, when did this start? Is it on tonight, really? I'll get you home before the end of the night. If you're in the ninth, not the ending, but the chapter, Isaiah saw a sign in chapter number 7 to verse number 14. I want you to see in chapter number 9 and in verse number 6, Isaiah saw, Ryan, not just the sign that he would be born of a virgin. He rolls that thing over to chapter number 9, verse number 6. And look what it says about this son. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a what? A son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful. Now listen, it doesn't say he shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Although he is a Wonderful Counselor, the Bible said his name shall be called Wonderful. And that's got a comma right there, and the writer of this book capitalized a W in mine. I hope yours is capitalized, because what do you capitalize in the plurality of things? Capitalize common name. Brother Tan, the Bible said his name shall be called Wonderful. Can you think of anything more wonderful than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? But the Bible said his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Everlasting Father. His name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Not only did Isaiah see a sign, but my friends, Isaiah saw a son. And that son would be the only begotten of the Father. When the Bible said that God so loved the world, what did he give? The Bible said that God so loved the world that he gave what? His only begotten son. Yeah. Isaiah saw a sign, but Isaiah saw a son. And that son is the very begotten of the Father that come down here to go to that cross. Brother Tim, he might bleed, suffer, and die. He would give his life a ransom for all of us that had no way out. We were condemned to a devil's hell, Miss Margaret. We were headed that way, and no way to change direction of our own volition. There's no way we can change course, Brother Kenny. We're going there. Like it or not, we're headed to hell. Oh, but bless God, step in the sidebar of grace. Here comes the Son. Isaiah talked about it. Jesus was telling them in that 12th chapter of the book of John. John. He said that Isaiah saw some things. Isaiah saw some glory back there. And he said, I'm going to use that to tell you guys that I'm the one. I'm the one. I'm the one. He had just said, and I, if I be lifted up. Bless God, he was lifted up, Brother Tam. And Isaiah was trying to tell us way back then, 700 years earlier, that there was some things that were going to transpire. You might not understand it all, but believe it all. I don't understand everything in this book. I just don't, Brother Tam. There's some mysterious things written in here. We serve a mysterious working God. Does he not tell us that he is mysterious? Does he not say that he works in mysterious ways? Does he not say that we're peculiar people? He uses words like mysterious. He uses words like peculiar. He uses these words to describe himself, to describe his work, to describe his way, to describe us. Bless God, that's the way God is. But it's not hidden if you're looking for him.
Amen.
It's not hidden if you're looking. Yes. With an eye of faith, you must be able to see. And bless God, I have no trouble seeing this. Do you, Tam? Y'all having trouble seeing that? 9 weeks from today or tomorrow, we've got Christmas. Everybody from coast to coast, from high and low, are going to be putting up trees and manger scenes. I don't care what you got. Come out to the office. I'll sell you some Hanukkah stamps, some Kwanzaa stamps, some EID stamps, and even some Christmas stamps. Everybody celebrates something, and every bit of those celebrations evolve, Brother Tam, and go right around the birth of this man. I don't care which one you're celebrating. It all is circled around the 25th day of December, and it's around the birth of the man that Isaiah said that I saw a sign, and then he said, I saw the sun. That son would be called Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And bless God, we need peace in a world that knows no peace. We need that, or I certainly do. Keep going through Isaiah. I'll show you a couple more things. Go all the way over to the 53rd chapter. I want to ask you something very personal right now. From the back to the front, from the great to the little, to the small, to the old, to the young, every which way you want to turn. Robert Church, is he your Savior? Is he your Savior tonight? Have you allowed him to redeem you from the curse of the law? That law's contrary to us. We've already established that. The Bible says we couldn't do it through the flesh. Read Romans chapter number 7 if you don't believe me. This flesh is weak. Miss Cindy, is he your Savior? He's my Savior. Brother Chris, are you saved? Based on what? On the blood of Jesus. Upon the authority of his word and on the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Chris said he's saved. You don't have any trouble believing that, do you? Ryan, do you have any trouble believing it? Why? Because it says it. Agnostics. Everybody in between, Brother Tam, the Scientologist, architecture, archaeologist, not architect, they're probably trying to do it too, but archaeologist, the diggers. Everybody's digging, everybody's looking, the bone hunters, trying to figure out where the Leviathan went. Speaking of this in the Bible, it talks about the behemoth and the Leviathan. They're wondering, where did them dinosaurs go? Where'd this go? Where'd that go? Everybody's trying to find some fault with this. Yes. They'll find no fault in it because there's no fault in him. Jesus said, Pilate said, I find no fault in him. They can't, Brother Tam, because there's no fault in him. To find fault in his book would be to find fault with him because he said that he was the Word. In the beginning was the Word with God, the Word was God, the Word was made flesh, being Christ, and dwelt with him. You can't find fault in this or you would find fault with him. And you can't find fault with him because then you would have fault with this. But in the 53rd chapter, Isaiah 7:14, he said, I see a sign. Behold, the Lord shall give you a sign. Chapter number 9 and verse number 6, he said, I see the sun. But I want you to look right here. In 53, you're going to see a Savior. Isaiah 53, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Aren't you glad, Brother Tim, he didn't just see the sign that told of a virgin that would come. Bless God, he saw not just a sign, but he saw the Son. Bless God, just a little bit later, God opened up the scripture to him, Brother Tim. That's a perfect painting of what took place through the Gabbatha and through Golgotha, all the way down the way of the Via Dolorosa, or the way called straight, the way of the pavement. Brother, it's all recorded right here in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah's writing, Brother Preacher. It's right there. He said, I see him as a Savior, the one that bore our grief, the one that took our sins upon him, Brother Tam. He said, we wouldn't want to look at him. Oh, Hollywood can't make a movie bad enough, Brother. They can take a Mel Gibson film and they can lay it out, and Brother, they can use all the sci-fi, all the kind of a fake blood and every kind of instrument they could put on the big screen. There's no way they could portray that, Brother Tam. That would be like it was on that day. The Bible said that his visage was so marred that we wouldn't even want to look upon him. We wouldn't want to. Why? Because it was us that put him there. It was my sin and yours that put him on the cross, Brother Blaine. When you got saved the other night, right up here, you laid upon him the iniquity of yourself. It become your stripes. It become your sin that he was bearing. He became death and died the death that we deserve, all because of Isaiah's writing and prophesied, and then he went and he fulfilled it. He didn't just see a sign, Brother Tam, or a son. He saw a Savior. In the 53rd chapter of the Old Testament, you said, well, yeah, we're living in a New Testament age. Isaiah was telling you what was coming down the line. He said he'd be born of a virgin, that the whole world would be upon his shoulders. He said that he'll lay upon him the iniquity of us all, his chastisement, our chastisement, everything about that. But thank God that by his stripes, we are healed. I'm thankful for that. I don't know about y'all. This message may be falling flat tonight, but God's sending it, and I hope it's helping somebody. I'm going to catch our text verse again so that you still know that I'm still preaching New Testament doctrine in the book of Isaiah. He said, these things said Esaias when he saw his glory and spake of him. Who's he speaking of? Him. Who's him? He's speaking of the Lord, Jesus Christ. What else, preacher? Flip back over a couple pages. Now, I asked y'all a minute ago if you had seen him as your Savior. I'm going to ask you this today. A lot of people want him as a Redeemer. Brother Scott, we want him as our Savior. Why? Because that's our free ticket. That's our golden ticket. That's our free get out of jail. That's our get out of hell free card. We want him as a Savior, Brother Tim. Who doesn't? I believe anybody would want to get out of hell, Brother Tam, if they could. Yes. Countless of billions of dollars were spent on that lottery. Everybody wanting a golden ticket. Everybody wanting the winning ticket. I'm telling you what, everybody in here is saved by God's grace. Say amen. Amen. Bless God, you've got a ticket. And your father owns it all, Miss Jan. He owns it all, honey. And you're an heir and a joint heir with Jesus. Exactly right. You got it all. You've already won the fight. You've already won. And not just won. Honey, you're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Damn, you just don't get any better than that. Amen. We want him as Savior. Now, the next one is just a little bit different. I took you back to chapter number 40. It's still in Isaiah. The Bible says that all we like sheep have gone astray. If you could see him as a sign, and you could see him as a son, and then you could see him as your Savior, I'm asking you to let him be your shepherd. Amen. Let him be your Lord. Lordship is to care over. To be your Lord, or to be under his lordship, is to let him take care of you. To you be a sheep, to him be a shepherd.
Isaiah saw that in the 40th chapter, in the 11th verse. My Bible's up there, but I'm back here. If I'm not mistaken, preacher, read chapter 40, verse number 11.
For he shall feed his flock like a shepherd.
What?
He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead them those that are with young.
Did you hear that? Is he talking about a physical shepherd out in a field somewhere that's going to go out and pick up a little? He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about our shepherd. You want him as your Savior. Bless God, you've seen the sign. You've seen the Son. You've seen him as your Savior. Let him be your shepherd, Ryan. Be that little sheep that when you get in the craggy places of life and you're out there in the bulrushes and you're covered up in cuckleburs and you're mangled and tangled with the cares and the ways of this life and this world, let him come right to where you are. And when you're just out there with no defense mechanism of your own, and that's the way Melissa, the sheep are. They just sit out there and cry. They don't have any way to fight back. They don't have a stink bag like a skunk. They don't have big antlers like an elk or a deer. They don't have the means, Brother Tam, to fight back. That's why he says we are like little sheep. We can't fight Satan head on. We can't fight him, Brother Archie. We just don't have that within us. So what do? We just cry out for the good shepherd. And my goodness, that good shepherd, Miss Margaret, he'll come, and he, as Brother Kenny has just read, he'll take you up in his loving arms, and he'll just kind of love on you. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. Gather the little lambs with his arm, carry them into his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. My goodness. Flip over, look over at verse number 28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fail. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and shall not faint. If we go on through there, look what it says in chapter number 43, in verse number 2. And when you pass through the waters, I'll be with ye. When you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow. Flow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall the flame be kindled upon you. What did he see here? He didn't just see the sign or the sun. Bless God right here. Look what it says in verse number 5. He said, I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. In verse number 11 of that same chapter, he said, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So whenever he lays claim, going back to John chapter number 12, when he lays claim to being a man, was he a man? Yes, he was. Did he hurt? Was he tempted? Sure he was. The Bible said he was in all points tempted, the same as we are. Yet he was without sin. Was he a Savior? You better believe he was. Was he a son? You better believe. Was he the sign that was prophesied that came to pass? Yes, he was. Yes. So everything that I'm preaching about tonight is right here wrapped up in Old Testament doctrine in a New Testament revelation by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in chapter number 12. Yes. Why is it so hard for people? Why is it so hard to understand? Why is that? I can't comprehend that. Maybe it's just because I'm saved, Brother Tim, but how can people not see that if they could just taste it for themselves? Honestly, if they could just get a little taste of this, Miss Sam, they would soak it up like a big old sponge. Come, taste and see that the Lord, He is good. They would understand it if they could just, with an eye of faith. See, Tim, can you imagine going through this life a lost man? Everything that would come your way is against you. You're just stacking it up against your judgment day. That whenever that time comes, you'll stand before him without a redeemer, without an advocate, without a counselor, God help, Brother Archie's right. Archie said, God help. If you're saved, you won't have to worry about it. Amen. I'm going back over to John chapter number 12. Close this thing out here in just a second. Let me just say this. A lot of the people that's making a big fuss right now are doing it that they might make a name for themselves. I had some other scriptures over in here in the New Testament. I'm just going to quit real quick. The people that are trying to make a name for themselves, folks, they're selling stuff. Honestly, they're trying for popularity. They're trying for prominence. They're trying for some kind of praise of men. What did the Bible say there in John chapter number 12, where were we just at? It said that, I'm going to read our text verse again. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Let me tell you, my friends, if you're a stay-at-home kind of Christian, I'll just stay at home and watch Joel. God help you. Joel's trying to sell books. Joel's selling stuff. Other people's just trying to get you to send them money. Do this, do that. Why? Because they want the praise of men. You said you're judging him. Listen, folks, read your Bibles. Listen to a few little quotes. And then dig in deep and find out. Ken, when a man won't preach against sin, something's wrong with that man. You better watch him. You better watch him. When everybody says that all of us, whether we be Buddhist, Islamist, jihadist, whether we be anything, the Islamists are jihadists because they're warring against the Christians, because we're the infidels. But they're teaching, Brother Tam, that all of us, be it Buddhist, Islamist, Hindu, I don't care who you are, we're all going to the same heaven, and we all just call him by a different name, whether it be by Allah, or whether it be by Jehovah God, or whether it be from Jesus Christ. Listen, my friends, that's a lie. You better watch that. That's a lie. Head straight out of the pits of hell to deceive mankind to think of one big old melting pot and everybody going in that thing together. No, it's not. There ain't but one way to heaven. Amen. And that's through this that I've been talking about tonight. Amen. That's through this son. That son's name is none other than Jesus Christ. Brother Scott, come on, get us a song. Miss Debbie, honey, if you just want to come down, play, get Brother Scott, whatever you got. Brother Jerry, that wasn't too bad. Listen to me, friends. If you've not seen him in the manner that I present, that's a very little basic 4-point outline, Brother Tam. Isaiah saw. What did Isaiah see? He saw the sign, he saw the son, he saw the Savior, and he saw a shepherd. Right there, a little 4-point sermon for a nice little Wednesday night. I hope it's helped you. There's a whole lot of truth in that, though. If you don't see him and you don't see him for who he really is, man, you're going to miss the greatest thing that ever could come your way. Well, I need him every day. I woke up the other morning. I told my wife about this, and she thought I was dreaming about her. I woke up the other morning, honestly, and I woke up and I was like this. I woke up, I had the biggest smile on my face. I was asleep. But when I woke up, I was like, why am I smiling? You know what I come up with? I told her about that. And she said, you were thinking about me. I first thought it might have been chicken. No, but I had gone to sleep praying. And I got up, used the restroom, probably 3 or 4 in the morning. And I laid back down, and whenever I woke up a little bit, I started praying again. And the only thing is I can thank Brother Tim is when I went to sleep, I was still yet praying. When I woke up, I still had a grin. Is that, that's funny. That's funny.
Amen. Thank God.
I'm not going to tell you about the dream last night. That was, I floated from the dam all the way down to Elkin on my back in the river. Didn't have my kayak. I was just on my back, just floating down the river. My dream interpreters helped me out. I don't have a clue. Don't know what that was about, but there you go. As we stand over the house of God. Listen, I told you about him. I hit Scott Wagner sitting right where Rick's church is at in the back of the head with an orange one time, hard as I could throw it. Everybody in the church was facing that way, and I reached in here and I grabbed an orange and I threw it. It hit Scott in the back of the head. Now, what was that about? That's a dream. I don't know what I dreamed. That's about as bad as the pickle in my thigh. I've had some crazy dreams. Most of them don't involve y'all, though, thank Lord. Thankfully. Damn, so yeah. Don't be dreaming about me, preacher. Listen, folks, have you seen him? Do you know him? Brother, does he fit the bill or does he not? I don't care if the scriptures tell us about it. That's him. It fits him. Because this is the greatest hymn book that's ever been written. It's all about him. Go ahead, Brother Scott.